for a treat, not because we are here, but because the Holy Spirit brought something that we can share with you. My testimony, one of the testimonies that I want to share and that the Lord really put on my heart this morning for you guys, and I think it's so fitting in this church as far as I got to know you guys on Wednesday night, is the still small voice. I grew up in church. I grew up in a Pentecostal, charismatic, faith-filled church. So I was familiar with all that, and I knew God. But in a way, as I grew older in my teenage and mid-20s, I was like, I don't know God, really. And whatever I am taught and how people do certain things in church, that doesn't line up with what I think I read in the Bible. I don't get all this. This is all contradicting itself, and it's not helping me. This is not freedom. So at a certain point in my life, in my mid-20s, I put my Bible aside and I told God, this is it. If you want to reveal yourself to me, you got to do that. I'm not going to do anything. I longed for him, and I knew I never went into any other religion, thank God. That was never an issue for me. And I knew that very moment when I was there, it felt like I could see a hole, but I knew there was never going to be a depth big enough where his hand wouldn't be. So, I just lived on and tried to find peace, tried to find God in a way. I really longed for God. The longer it went, the more I was like, God, I want to find you. Please reveal yourself to me. And I was, you know, you grow up in church and you hear these great testimonies. Wow, my life was turned around, like Andrew Womack's on March 23rd, 1968. Every student has to know that date. So I never had that date in my life. And I was like, I want that date. I want a date where God came through. It was big. It was loud. A thunder, a storm, whatever, and my whole life would be turned around. That day never came. Not until today. It never came. But what did come was the still small voice. And when I first got one of my counselors, she, during that phase where I longed for it so much, she gave me a postcard and with an art picture of Elijah in the cave. And she basically pointed this out, the still small voice, and I almost slammed it in her face. I'm like, I want the thunder! I want the still small voice! And I argued with God about that for years. But it was the still small voice, and still is until today. I found God in the still small voice, or he found me, and he lured me back in with the still small voice. I cannot give you any date in my life where it's like, that day turned my life around. That was the change in my life. But the consistency of the still small voice in searching for that, that turned my life around. And I was just talking to Julie on the way here. There's people that have the big boom, and then their life changes, but they still have to go through process. And then there's those like me, we go through process, and our life changes all the way along. And one day we wake up and we're like, we're not that same person anymore. And I couldn't even tell you when the change happened, but it happened all the way through. And it was so beautiful, and it still is. And that is where God and I connect, the still small voice. It's not the big boom fireworks. It's him and me. To put it in those words of, I found my God. It's not a God. It's not the God that I was taught. I found my God. And I really want to bless you all with this encouragement to find your God in the still small voice. That's my testimony for now. And I want to hand it over to our wonderful Canadian, Larry. Larry is a huge blessing to us. And he's an evangelist and lover, pastor, kind. He loves the sheep. He loves everybody out there. You will never find Larry without a little Gospel of John in his pocket somewhere. Does he even sleep with that, Carol? Yeah. I think so. Yeah, see, he's got it. And it's just the most natural thing to him to do that. And I admire him for it. And it's, you will see, he's beautiful, he's wonderful, and he will give us the word. Larry, come on up. Give him a hand, please.
Can we, am I on? No? Okay. All right. I'm a rookie at these sorts of things. I'm low tech. That's right, right on.
Amen. And Anya, I would point out that Elijah got his ministry started with that still small voice. So come on, watch out, world. Here comes Anya. Hallelujah. Oop, let's go over to here or not. So yeah, so we got our team introduced very much. And I'm going to take this occasion and oh my goodness. Thank you for your praise and worship. Oh, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We'll rise up on wings like eagles. And that's what I felt this morning. Walk and not grow weary. Run and not grow faint. Okay, amen. But thank you. The Spirit of the Lord was so powerful. Thank you, Lord, for this worship team. Amen. It was so genuine. It was so awesome. And I'm done in. Okay? Okay. We're just so, and thank you, Pastor Galloway, for inviting us. And we give thanks, and we're so appreciative of your ministry to the homeless and the folks that have lost their way. For we all were once lost, right, and blind and that. And we've seen, we just know there's a fruit that remains as a result of this work and that. So amen to that. Absolutely good. Good work here and that, if you will, and that. And in how many here were Wednesday night participants in that as well? And heard Heidi give her message about seeing God in the sunset, and in Julie about what do you think of me, and just how that was so significant. And then Anya this morning too as well. So good. Leads right into our message today is going to be on demonstration of God and love, not God's love, but God and love in that. And I'm just going to chat about that a little bit here. With these testimonies, I really want to do a quick share of my testimony because it leads into the message I do have on my heart to share here this morning and that. I'm born in the Northern Prairie, so we know the snow there, in a little town, and grew up loving sports and getting involved and get into, I'll make this fairly quick and that. And we went into the military college and into the Air Force, 24th NORAD region for our American brothers here, but in Canada at North Bay, and was going along nicely in life. And then went to inspect a radar site in Red Deer, Alberta. And my sister insists I go on a blind date with a certain lady. Who's here with me now. I was rigorously against it, but it was at a discotheque called Finders Keepers. I didn't even know what prophecy meant in those days, but it was prophetic. Love it. First, Carol, stand up, please. 46 years later. And Carol's love for the Lord has always been inspirational to me and has actually led me, and that I've been in her shadow at more times than not, if you will, in that. So I left the military after 10 years and was so, I just want to get into, I'd had a couple of miracle cures through chiropractic, so I went to chiropractic college and graduated with two sons, went up, put all of our belongings in a little Toyota two-door, drove across Canada, ended up at the practice on the island, and going to church when the skiing wasn't so good and the fishing. I grew up Catholic, by the way, altar boy, and Carol's Presbyterian, but we believed in God, and we thought we were good people, and we prayed and said the blessing and went at night and said our prayers. And then hear me on this though. 1993. I was out in the backyard in March, and on the island it's already green. and I'm whistling, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and not a cloud in the sky. Birds were singing, and all of a sudden, and I mean, this sounds dramatic, but it's so true. It's like a cloud came out of nowhere and came right into my heart. I mean, I was happy. I was joy. We had success. We're living on a lake, beautiful home. We had boats and every holidays, good family. But all of a sudden, this cloud came. In fact, I looked up to see, where did that come from? And my spirit said to me, something is missing. Whoa, what? What could I be missing? And so I kept that to myself, and I went, but I couldn't get that feeling out of it. And here I had all this success that the world says you need to have. And so I decided to go into my room at night, so nobody think I was too religious, to start reading the Bible again. Read through the Gospels, got to John 3:3. Where Jesus says, I tell you the truth, to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. I just about leaped, this is close to midnight, I almost let out a war whoop. You know, I didn't know what it meant in all my years of going to church. Nobody had ever talked about it, any of the pastors or the priests or anybody. But we quickly consulted with my wife, my spiritual giant, and she says, well, I think simply to do that, because my brother did this with me, we simply have to pray and receive Jesus, and you'll become born again. So we prayed, and within 3 days or so, 2-3 days, I knew that I was different. I had a new spirit. All praise be unto him. And a few weeks later, I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, because we're talking about God's love, though, that's really why I wanted to share this. Hear me on this. When I was 12 years of age, I'm Ukrainian, and in Ukrainian families, the mom is the head of the household, okay? So I was on my bed, and I was actually reading the Bible then. It was in the summertime, and I loved to read. I was kind of a nerd in those days. Still am, actually, but anyways. And my mom was having kind of a cranky. She's a beautiful mom, by the way. Best food going, by the way. But at any rate, she came in and she saw me. And we lived by the schoolyard, this separate schoolyard. And they're out there playing ball and everything. She says, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you a man? Get out there and play sports. And what's reading? And she was really angry at me. It's just out of nowhere. And, of course, my mom meant everything to me. So I thought about it, and I got down on my knees, and I prayed to God. I said, Father, my mom, I want to please my mom. Excuse me, it still gets to me. I want to please my mom, and I love her so much. I will do what she says. But, Lord, when I turn, I don't know where this came from, it's Holy Spirit. When I turn 40, I promise to follow you all the days of my life. In March 1993, I had just turned 40. And the Lord remembered the prayer of a little 12-year-old boy and made a way for me to come to him. I'd forgotten about the prayer. It was not in my memory banks at all. And that's when I became, and that's when I realized the Father hears every prayer we'll ever pray. They're not forgotten about it, and he will answer them, amen, to his glory. And so I wanted to share that before we got going here, and that, amen. And now, okay, let's give him a round of, let's praise the Lord forevermore. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. And that. Okay, yes, so this, let's talk about God and love, and his love particularly towards us. Now, I know we all know that God is, you know, loves us. He demonstrated his love, so loved the world. He gave us his only begotten Son, correct? And that, amen. And of course, that's, well, first of all, I want to back up and talk about what the world thinks of love, okay? Because, frankly, we have a cultural mind and spiritual set that we don't even realize when we're looking at our relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We actually, our love in the world is an emotion, right, Annette? So there's that, and it's pleasant. Remember our puppy loves, remember our first loves, Annette. How many are sitting beside their first love, by the way, here in the auditorium here, Annette? Oh, the Canadians again, right? Okay. you know, it's beautiful. I mean, you just, right, 24/7 you want to be with your love and so on like that, and just be there, and you thought nothing but of them and so on and so forth. And in the midst of all that, we live in a culture of what? Performance. Conditional love. Your parents could do this, or you get spanked, or you not get your allowance. Your teachers, and you want to have that percentage of, you get your highest grades, and you can go on to university. Your sporting coach, and that, come on, you get that across, that ball across the line there. Come on, get with it. And you're looking to please your coach and win the games. In work, to perform, make more money than everybody else, have a nicer home. Performance. Conditional love, right? And that's a bit of what happens. So this is a bit of a cautionary. When we look at our relationship with God, Father, I prayed. Father, Jesus, I fasted. And I didn't get my prayers answered. And you know, and yes, you're happy when you get your prayers answered and you rejoice and be glad in it and you declare it, right? But I want to just caution you a bit. What happens to in your relationship with God, the Father, with our Elohim, and that, when Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, when we don't get our prayers answered, when we're not healed on the spot, when our finances aren't looked after, when our sons wander away, or our daughters, and that, in spite of us praying and praying and praying, we tend to cross our arms, maybe stop praying, maybe stop going to church as often, and conceivably even be angry at God. And we don't even realize we're programmed to be this way in our society. And so we have to come against that. We have to rebuke that. And you know, knowledge is 9/10 of something or other, but of wisdom. And so we want to never, as Jesus said, his most direct command out of Mark, have faith in God. You know, it's not advice, it's a command. And that no matter what, we know his nature, we know his loving ways, and we will not stray from that, whether we get our prayers answered on the spot or not. But do watch your reactions, because quite often, without realizing, it's our culture again that's just on display there. That God first loved us, right? Demonstrated his love in that. So loved the world, yes. But and so this is talking about his love, yes, but not about our love for him. I wanted to just talk about that. It's not, again, about performance. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. And it's not out of fear, work, or deeds that we'll get a better result of that, too, as well. He loves us no matter what, Annette. 1 John 4:16, Annette. God is love. And we've known, and amen. And we've known, I'll just read it from here. And known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Okay? And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. But I want to really concentrate on God is love. It's not just only that he gives us love. It's not his nature, and it is his nature and character. But he actually is love. As Dwayne Sheriff, one of the ministers in, throughout the States, pointed out, he said, you know, it's like, it's not giving a cup of water out of kindness, which is love. The water is God, is love. So when we have love, we have God. God abides in us, and we abide in him. And that he epitomizes love, and it's just who he is. And every element of love that we experience is God, okay? And so as a result, we can just really... It's just like when God abides in us, he is in us, and we are in him. When we touch our arms or our hand, we're touching God. We're touching Jesus. But we're also touching love, okay? All right? And save your questions till the end, okay? All right? Okay, all right. And we love him because he first loved us, amen? Amen. And Matthew 18:11-13. Surely, this is the one where the 100 sheep, one goes astray. Does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains to seek the one that was lost? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more. Remember, leaves the 99 and seeks the one over that one than the 99 that did not go astray in that. And I'm reminded of a story here. His name is Juan Carlos out of Chile, right, Carol? Juan Carlos, we heard his testimony, we met him, and we're actually in a mission field with him as well, he was in his 20s, and he had a pregnant girlfriend, and he was drinking and doing all kinds of stuff and just having a good time, didn't care, just thought that's what life was all about, so he's going by this park one day, and he's high. I should hear him tell the story, by the way. He's going by, this teenage girl, and there's Christian outreach with musicians and so on in the park. And as he's going by, just a drunk and all this and that sort of thing, however that works, this teenager separates herself out of the group, comes running over to him, and she goes up and she puts her hand on his heart and she says, I want you to know, Señor, that God loves you just the way you are. Well, he went back to his apartment or wherever he was at. He couldn't stop thinking about that. And so then he said to his wife, we're going to church on Sunday. What? They went to church, long story short, became believers, long story short, went to Bible school, became a pastor. Long story short, God's story is never short. He is now the head of Gideon's Canada throughout all of South America. And God loves you just the way you are. That's my God. That's our God. Amen? Amen? And then when we went to on a mission trip years later, we went to his church. It was part of the outreach. And guess who was there? But this teenage girl who is now an adult who had moved away. And when she comes back, she's looking for a church. And she ends up in Juan Carlos's church. And it was just an amazing church, just as yours, just full of love. And that's for sure. And that. Okay, amen. So that's our God on display, just as you are. Again, we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, we just receive it. Amen? Amen. Romans 8, let's do some verses here, 37 through 38. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that. And I am persuaded, amen, fully, that neither death nor life, angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everybody fully persuaded? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Romans 5, verses 5 through 8, and then. Well, let's just do number 8. But God demonstrates his love to us that yet while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Father's love. It's like letting your son go off to war, knowing you might not see him again. We talk about Jesus and his sacrifice, but what about the Father's sacrifice to allow his son to go through all this on our behalf? And that, amen. Titus 3, 4 through 7. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. Amen. And not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, and that. Again, the Bible, if you go into the Word, you'll see His love. All just even go to your concordance and look up love. Verses, 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 and that. But it's a powerful love. It's not emotional, again. It's not the worldly kind of love. It's the God kind of love, and that. Amen. And I'm thinking of another fellow here, too, as well. I'll get to that. Okay. 1 John 4:7-8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love, again, and that. Amen. Amen. Not that we love God, but He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the offering or propitiation for our sins. A little bit of Christianese there, but it's good. Remembering the story of Corrie Ten Boom, correct? And she was, of course, went through the Auschwitz and lost all her family and saw terrible, they were killed in a horrible fashion in front of her very eyes by this Nazi guard that was as evil as the day is long, who was rejoicing what he's doing, as I recall the story. And anyway, she escaped, she got out, and if you've read In the Hiding Place, and she's doing a Christian conference, possibly in Germany, I'm sure where. And she does an altar call, and this fellow comes forward to her after the altar call. And he is so excited because he now knows his sins have been forgiven, that Jesus, through the blood, his blood, has taken it all upon himself. And he's got a new life, and he's saved. He's saved. And he wants to shake her hand to thank her for what her message. And she looks at him and recognizes the Nazi guard that took away her whole family. And she writes very elaborate, she's beautiful, but she struggled immediately. It's like it was like time stood still with all the memories that flooded her and the desire to rebuke him and refuse him and to put a curse on him. I'm not sure I'm quoting it correctly, but it's something of this nature. But then she realized that if Jesus died with all the condemnation that was put upon him, died that horrible death, that at the very least she could reach out for the hand of that guard and shake it in return without saying anything. And she did. Wow. That is love. That's God's love. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Annette. Question, how would you do at that moment? Okay, all right. I'll leave that with you. Okay, amen, okay. By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is a gift of God, amen, that none should boast in that, hallelujah. For we are his workmanship, created in advance in Christ Jesus for good works, and that we should walk in them. Amen. Hallelujah. And that. All right. So we are to focus on God's love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'll just go a little bit into, okay, how do we do this and that, if you will? First of all, believe by faith in that. To love your neighbor as yourself. This commandment he leaves with us is to love one another as Jesus said at the end there. And Jesus in his love healed, fed, had compassion on the multitudes, correct? And that love motivates us because love again is God. Amen. God is love and love is God. And the love of man instills fear or control, right? But the love of God is freedom. We have freedom in Christ. Amen. Pardon me. Amen. Hallelujah. And it produces faith, absolutely, as we recognize this. And we please the Father that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him out by faith in that. Amen. When we love, as a parent, when your children love you regardless, and they're just so excited to be with you, that's where we're to be. Jesus says we're to be his little children, to go into the kingdom of God. So second childhood is very esteemable, okay? All right? As we go into the heavenly places and that. I should ask forgiveness for Canadian humor. Sorry about that. Right. It just rises up. God is love. Okay, all right. Oh, yes. Okay. Point to each other. Take a partner. Yeah, okay, and just say, God loves you. And he loves you so much. Now point at yourself. But I'm his favorite. Okay. Okay. I think that was in the Message version. Okay. But you know what? You have to almost add, I mean, prefer your brothers. Anyways, that's a whole other talk right there. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah to the King. All right. Okay. Right. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And right. Amen. And it says, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But what is the greatest of the three? Love. Amen. Amen. And again, let's put God's love above all else here in that. Amen. Romans 5:8. Okay, God's kind of love. But God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Demonstration of love. And in fact, it could be the theme verse for this whole talk here in that. But God loves, yes. He knew us while we're yet in our mother's womb, correct? Before we were yet born, he knew us before the foundations of the earth and the days that were formed for us that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Before the foundations of the earth, come on, how amazing is our God, our Creator in that. Okay, amen. So we can, I'll just share one more story in that too as well, in that, and it's about love. We were in one of our first trips to Bolivia, Carol, was it, with I call her the McFlurry girl, okay? Mm-hmm. That's my scribe. Thank you, dear. All right. We were in Colombia with Sherwood Goldberg or Gideon's Canada, so I was actually without a traductor or translator at that point in time, and I was just walking by, it's a fairly large city, I think I forget which one it was, but it was out of McDonald's all over the world. Comes this very attractive lady in her 30s or 40s, and she had these amazing style designer sunglasses, and her hair was done up, and she had her McFlurry. That's why I call her the McFlurry girl. And she had something else in her other hand, and she had her purse and everything like that. And so I took my... I said, hello, me amo laddie to Canada, and I have a gift for you at a gallo, and I tucked it underneath her arm, and this is our first or second trip we'd ever done, and so I was a rookie, but all I could think, all I said, so I wanted to launch into my little message for her, and I said, did you know, dear, how much God loves you? And I was just about to go into my preach and teach, and I looked up at her, and the tears were just flooding down her cheeks. I was startled. I mean, it wasn't just a few drops or just the emotion. It was just like rivers of water, really serious. I've actually hardly ever seen anything like that since even. And I said, what's wrong? And I just came in a little closer. She said, Señor, she said, in all my life, I've never been told that someone loves me. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. I said, well, we have the most special gift ever, his love for you. Would you like to pray? And she prayed every ounce of her being. And the joy in her eyes afterwards, as she knew that she was loved, is eternal. You know? I'll never forget that moment, and that's partly why we're still going out into the mission field, is for those kinds of treasures. Leaves the 99 and seeks the one, amen. Our McFlurry girl, and that, amen. And we direct her to a church, to a local pastor, and I just know she's strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and that, amen. Oh my, yes, okay. And okay, and we could go into the process of how to grow into the knowledge of God's love, you know, but through prayer, being in the Word, spending time with him, Of course, going to church and service and so on, and that too as well. Absolutely. But you need to have, we all need rather, to know, like a little child, that we want to spend, the Father needs to know in the cool of the day or elsewhere how much you love him and that you want to spend time with him. So quiet time, whatever it takes, but put him, let's all of us put him first in our lives, okay? And because without him we are nothing, right? In that. But to demonstrate our love back to him as he so loves us in that. As he said in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, where are you? You know, when I read that, you could just hear the plaintive note in God's voice. He knew that they had strayed in that. And if Noah and the mankind beforehand, that he was grieved in his heart over the evilness of man in that. But he's also grieved because we had separated ourselves from him in that. And that no one ever has told me that they love me. In that. That's it, amen. And one final little story here, and then we'll pray. Again, that we are rooted and grounded in love, comprehending with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ, which does surpass all understanding, and to be filled with the fullness of God. In that, amen. Claire Zivkowski has been on our trips in Canada, different ministries, out of Alberta, Canada, and that, and he was dying of cancer, is his testimony we've heard, about 20 years ago. He just passed on just a couple years ago. And he was, his wife left him, he was given 3 days to live, the doctor said, write up your will, you haven't got much time here. So he's all alone in the darkness of the hospital room waiting to die. And he's just started to cry, of course. He felt so alone, so abandoned. And he said, just to hear him tell it with emotion or something, he said, Father, would you one more, just one last time, rather, show me that you love me, like the McFlurry girl. And it's just him, apparently, as he said that, all of a sudden, he felt this warmth of the Lord's presence. And this light entered into the room. And then came into his body. And the long and the short of it is that within the week, he was checked out of the hospital. Fully cured. Fully saved. And you know that. And he went on to establish a huge ministry to Africa. Sending truckloads, I mean semi-truckloads of goods and Bibles and Jesus movies. And he's been the author of Salvation and help for, and you appreciate this with your ministry, for tens of thousands, I believe, in that. And don't believe I'm exaggerating, but a lot, right, Carol, in that. But from that one simple request, and just that he knew, that he just wanted one more touch. So we desire the Father's love. That surpasses even all our prayer requests in that. And he will show us how much he loves us in that. And we'll trust in the Lord with all our strength. Amen? Okay, amen. Okay, I'm just going to do a little prayer here, and then I'm going to have Pastor come up in that. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and that you are love. Father, we pray that we will be confident and believe that you first loved us and chose us to be in your family forever. We haven't earned it, we haven't deserved it, but what manner of love is this? Amen. We also pray that as we go through this life, that we would have confidence that we would love also one another as you love them, for you love all of your creation. We are all your children. Thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, who gave us the miracle of being born again with a new spirit that will live forever with you. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah to the King. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your great, great love. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.